Pagbati sa inyo mga kapatid at mga kaibigan sa pangalan ng ating Panginoong Heso Kristo. Sa pagpapatuloy ng ating pag-aaral sa Christian Holiness sa ating Sunday School, tayo ay nasa paksa pa rin ng means of grace o mga kasangkapan ng biyaya. Itinitindig natin ito sa prinsipyo that God supplies graces but He ordinarily uses ordained means to cultivate or to activate the Spirit and the Word at sa prosesong pamilyar na sa atin, simula sa layunin na maging banal, inaalam natin ang mga kasalanan na dapat patayin, mga biyayang dapat linangin, at ang mga pamantayan na dapat nating ipamuhay, hindi kompleto yan kung wala ang kasangkapan. Kaya execution of means completes the cycle. At sa pag-aaral natin ng means of grace, tinignan natin sa private means, narito na tayo sa corporate means, at nasa corporate means tayo of discipline. Inilagay natin ito sa Reformed Theology ng Marks of the Church na inihambing natin sa isang roadmap kung saan ang essential mark ay the proclamation of the Word and the Gospel, but there are two maintaining marks, namely the administration of the sacraments na natapos na natin at ang exercise of discipline na siya nating pinag-aaralan ngayon, and the reason why there are these two categories. Una, a church may be true at one time without the maintaining marks. Halimbawa, nangangaral lamang ngunit hindi siya tatagal ng henerasyon. Without maintaining marks, a church will not perpetuate for generations. So we need the sacraments as well as the exercise of discipline. Sa pag-aaral natin ng church discipline, inumpisahan natin sa positibo nito ang formative discipline, which is the positive dimension of discipling one another. But of course, we are concentrating on corrective discipline, the application of measured censure for the purpose of restoration. Sinasagot natin ang ilang katanungan. Tapos na tayo sa tanong na where is authority of discipline derived or the power of key? Ang tanong din na what offenses merit discipline or matters of force censure? At narito tayo sa katanungan na what are the ways of imposing discipline or the modes for censure? And so far, we have considered three of these. The first, ang arbitrated settlement. Kasama riyan ang one-on-one ng offended and offender. And then maaring lumahok ang mga nararapat na mag-ayos ng sigalot ng kapatiran, mature arbitration, at kung kinakailangan ay dalhin sa iglesia, church involvement. Ang ikalawang uri ng mode of censure ay ang public rebuke. It can be done in a congregational meeting or kung wala ang offender, a letter on behalf of the church, or kung ayaw dumalo ng offender, delegates can visit on behalf of the church. And then it can come to a point of limited avoidance, which may mean revoke participation in membership duties and privileges, or it may come to a turn for the worse, which will require suspending membership, or it may even come to the point of excluding from membership, which I differentiated from what we will study in our lesson today. But let me just remind you that public censure is only done when the offense cannot be kept private. Ang nakita natin ay kinakailangan laging gawing privado hanggat maaari ang mga bagay na hindi naman kailangan isa publiko, ngunit tumarating ang panahon talaga na nagiging publiko ang isang pagkakasala na kinakailangan harapin sa disiplina ng iglesia. Kaya narito pa rin tayo sa katanungan, what are the ways of imposing discipline or modes for censure? And we come to the last and the most severe probably, but one that is of importance in our understanding of church discipline, and that is excommunication. At marami ang ayaw pag-usapan ito at hindi ginagawa ng maraming mga iglesia. Ngunit maliwanag ito sa pagtuturo ng bagong tipan. To give you three key texts on excommunication, one is 1 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5, where Paul says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." And then, in 1 Timothy 1:19 and 20, with some similarity of language by the Apostle Paul, he refers to those having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I deliver to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. At ang isang pamilyar na sa atin sapagkat kinamitan natin ito ng makailang ulit, Matthew 18:17, kapag dumating na ang arbitration sa third stage, Matthew 18:17 says, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, meaning wala siyang repentance, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector, meaning that he is not part of the Christian community. So dito makikita natin ang ibig sabihin ng excommunication. This concerns offense that constitutes a denial of faith. So far sa mga pinag-aralan natin na uri ng pagdidisiplina, sa tatlong uring tiningnan natin noong nakaraang linggo, hindi pa dumating sa punto na you have to recognize that this person has denied altogether the Christian faith. But excommunication is resorted to when what offense is addressed can constitute a denial of faith. Kaya ang ginamit na lingwahe ni Apostol Pablo ay to deliver to Satan. Eh, hindi ibig sabihin na talagang binibigay natin kay Satanas, kundi ang ibig sabihin, while the person is a member of the church, he is considered to be one belonging to the kingdom of Christ because the church is the community of the kingdom. Every member is considered to be part of the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. In delivering to Satan, it means that we are releasing that person to satanic realm where he really belongs. At isa pang ginamit na salita ni Pablo, ang dahilan ay for the destruction of the flesh. Now, we are not very certain what he means by that. Obviously, this cannot mean a calling for imprecation as you would read in some of the Psalms, because we will see later that that cannot be what Paul intended. Probably, this refers to some temporal judgment by God, some chastisement in order to awaken the senses of the person, because Apostle Paul makes clear that the ultimate purpose still of excommunication is that the spirit may be saved. So, it is still intending the repentance of the offender. So the call for the destruction of the flesh must not be understood as seeking the person to be judged in hell. That is not the case, because the intention still is the salvation of the spirit. So excommunication is termination of fellowship. And the reason why we terminate fellowship of all kinds is because the one excommunicated is treated as an apostate. Eh, ano ba itong apostasy? Gusto kong liwanagin, apostasy is not loss of salvation. We do not believe that genuine salvation is ever lost because of God's preserving grace. And when God preserves graciously, may katiyakan ng kaligtasan ng isang kanyang iniingatan at maipapakita sa ebidensya ng kanyang pagpapatuloy sa pananampalataya. An apostate is one who has renounced his professed faith. Not that he had saving faith from the beginning, but he renounces publicly his professed faith. And in the scriptures, in the New Testament, that is treated as worse than just plain unbelief. Yan ang sabi ni Peter, 2 Peter 2:20 and 21, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. Now, this is quite a severe language, in the sense that Apostle Peter is saying an unbeliever is still better than an apostate. An unbeliever has never known the Christian way of salvation, while the apostate is one who has known and has professed the way of salvation but has now renounced it. His fate or condition is worse, in the sense that the punishment, because there are degrees of punishment, his punishment will be worse off. So, yan ang makikita natin na bigat ng excommunication. Excommunication is the final corporate means of grace. Sinabi sa 1 John 5:16 na problem text sa maraming interpreters, but it can come to light when we associate this with the issue of excommunication. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask or pray, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. Ano itong sinasabi ni Juan na may kasalanan tungo sa kamatayan na hindi na kailangan ipanalangin? Una, itinutukoy niya ang iglesia, at may tinukoy siya earlier in this letter, chapter 2, verse 19, of those who went out from us because they really were not of us. Kaya idurugtong natin ito doon sa mga tumatalikod sa pananampalataya, at para sa kanila, ito na ang huling means of grace, kasangkapan ng biyaya na gagawin ng iglesia para sa kanila. We see here that excommunication is still a means of grace. Ito'y kasangkapan pa rin na maaring gamitin ng Panginoon para sa ikapanunumbalik ng nagkasala at siya'y maligtas. But for the church, unless there is response, it is the final one. And that means even church corporate prayer is to cease for the excommunicant. Yan ang punto ni Juan. Huwag nang ipanalangin ng iglesia. But let me be clear, it does not prohibit private intercession and admonition. Halimbawa, personally, may connection ka pa doon sa taong na itiwalag sa iglesia, na excommunicate, at gusto mong ituloy ang panalangin para sa kanya, walang mali doon. At may mga ipinapanalangin pa rin ako na na-excommunicate sa iglesia at hindi ipinagbabawal. Pero para sa iglesia, hindi na siya isasama sa corporate prayer o pang-iglesyang panalangin. Yan ang dahilan kung bakit ang excommunication, while still a means of grace, it will be the final one for the excommunicant. Now, excommunication is to be the judgment of the gathered church. Hindi ito gawain ng isang pastor lamang o kahit pa ng mga officers. It must be the gathered church. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5, when you are gathered, kapag kayo ay nagtitipon, but once excommunicated, all members must abide. Ibig sabihin, kaya nga ginawang sa pagtitipon ng iglesia upang kung magkaroon ng desisyon na siyang pangkalahatan, hindi kinakailangan bawat isa ay sumasang-ayon, pero sa pangkalahatan, ito ang desisyon ng iglesia, ay dapat ay umayon o sumunod ang mga miyembro, hindi man siya sumang-ayon sa desisyon, ngunit kung ito ang pangkalahatang desisyon ng iglesia, dapat siyang sumunod sa itinatakda ng excommunication. Excommunication, therefore, must not be resorted to without restoring effort. Yun na ang huli. At dahil yun ang huli, ibig sabihin marami tayong sisikaping gawin para ipanumbalik ang isang napipinto na maitiwalag sa iglesia. Hindi basta-basta gagawa ng excommunication na hindi dumaan sa mga pagsisikap na ipanumbalik ang sino man na maaring maitiwalag sa iglesia. But members apply excommunication. When once the decision is made, members must apply. That is, if the scriptures teach avoidance, no pleasant fellowship, then all members must abide by that, whether they agree or not to the decision, because otherwise it will divide the church in that particular decision. Excommunication, therefore, must be a clear consensus of the church. Hindi tayo nag-excommunicate ng simple majority na 50% plus one or a few ay settled ang excommunication. It must be the clear consensus of the church. Yan ang sabi ni Paul in referring to someone excommunicated by the church. In 2 Corinthians 2 verse 6, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. Now, in some translations, they use the word majority, which was inflicted by the majority, and I do not think that that sufficiently reflects what Apostle Paul is saying. Now, a majority can simply be 50% plus a few, which does not really reflect consensus. Eh, ang salitang many dito ay tumutukoy sa marami talaga. At hindi basta may ilan-ilan, kundi marami. At kung sinabi mong sa isang iglesia na sabihin natin may 100 miyembro at 55, 45 ang votation, hindi mo masasabing marami. Kung marami din ang kabila, marami ay sumasalungat sa kaunti. So the many is in contrast with the few, and therefore consensus para hindi mahati ang iglesia. So let us consider the gravity of excommunication. Excommunication has what we could call heaven's second motion. Right after Matthew 18:17, the Lord Jesus gave this warning. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for it, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. Madalas natin gamitin ito at wala namang mali na patungkol sa pagsamba. Pero sa talagang konteksto nito, patungkol ito sa pagdidisiplina. Kapag nagdisiplina, ang sinasabi ay kung sino ang itiwalag, ay tinitiwalag din sa kalangitan. Parang kapag gumawa ng tamang desisyon ng iglesia, ito ay kinikilala ng kalangitan, ng mismong paghahari ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Kaya huwag mong maliitin. Huwag mong sabihin kung ikaw ang napipinto na madisiplina ng ganito, ay sila lang naman yan, hindi ko kailangan. Ay, ang nakababala dito, kapag ginawa ng iglesia sa tama at takdang paraan, ay sumasang-ayon ang kalangitan. Jonathan Edwards has something to say about excommunication, and it is quite ironic because Jonathan Edwards himself was a victim of unjust excommunication. But that did not in any way make him turn back to the legitimacy and the usefulness of excommunication. Kumuha siya ng isang sulatin patungkol sa excommunication kung saan ito ang sinabi niya sa tinawag na the nature and end of excommunication: when other more gentle means have been used in vain, then it is the duty of the church to use this, which is more severe, in order to bring them to conviction, shame, and humiliation. They may be convinced how they deserve to be forever disowned of God. Eh, sa ating mga Pilipino, may hirap ito sa ating kultura. Sinasabi natin, wag na lang, nakakahiya, mapapahiya. Eh, that's the point. The point is, pakita natin ang bigat ng kanyang kasalanan na kung paano siyang tinanggihan ng iglesia, ay mas seryosohin niya na tanggihan siya ng Diyos sa huling araw. May isa pang katanungan para tapusin natin ang pagtatalakay ng disiplina sa iglesia. What are the reasons for exercising discipline? Defining the objectives. Anong mga layunin natin pag tayo'y gumagamit ng disiplina? May tatlo na tayong nilalayon. Ang una ay restoration. Mapanumbalik natin ang nagkasala. We are trying to awaken the senses of the offender for the purpose of repentance. Maliwanag ito sa James 5:19 and 20. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So yung hangarin natin ay maipanumbalik siya, dahil kung hindi ay siya ay nanganganib sa paghahatol ng Diyos. So therefore, if this is an objective we are seeking, love is a fundamental motive for discipline. The very reason why we discipline in the same way that parents discipline their children is out of love. Love is the motive for chastisement. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, love does not rejoice in iniquity. At yan ang dapat nating pamayani na motibo sa ating pagdidisiplina kung ang hangarin natin ay maipanumbalik ang nagkasala. And that means, kung manumbalik nga, Where there is repentance, brethren must affirm their love. Eh, dito naman nakukulang ang iba. Ayaw nilang tanggapin ang pagsisisi o lagi na lang nilang iniisip siya ang nagkasala at hindi na nila maisip na ang isang makasalanan ay maaaring magsisi. And yet, this very thing which Apostle Paul refers to earlier sa ating binasa sa tumanggap ng punishment or penalty ng iglesia, na ngunit ngayon ay nagsisisi, ang sabi niya in verse 7, so that on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him, lest somehow such a one be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. Wherefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. Eh kung talagang pag-ibig ang motibo natin sa unang pagdidisiplina pa lamang, kapag nanumbalik ang dinisiplina, eh magagalak tayo na manumbalik siya at ipapanariwa natin sa kanya ang pag-ibig natin na hindi dapat nawala. Kaya ang una ay restoration, ang ikalawa na objective ay testimony. Tumutukoy ito sa protection of the church doctrinal and moral standard. May mga pamantayan tayong iniingatan bilang patutuon natin at pagkakakilanlan natin sa mundo. At kinakailangan may alalahanin tayo sa sinasabi ng mundo sa atin. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Apostle Paul is telling the Thessalonian Christians and church that they are to be mindful of how they are reputed in the eyes of the outsiders, mga hindi mananampalataya. Kaya nagdidisiplina tayo bilang pag-iingat sa ating pagkakakilanlan. Fairly or unfairly, the world judges the church by its members. Ay, sometimes, dapat lang nilang gawin. Kung minsan naman, hindi nila alam ang lahat, pero nanghuhusga na agad sila. But that is something we cannot avoid. The world will judge us and will make charges of the church because of what they see of the members of the church. Now, that's where discipline comes. It is church discipline that effectively answers the world's charge. Kapag nagbintang ang isang hindi mananampalataya, eh, di ba miyembro niyo yun? Bakit ganitong ginawa? At kung masabi ng iglesia, oh, dati naming miyembro yan, pero dinisiplina namin, itiniwalag namin sapagkat hindi kami sumasang-ayon sa kanyang pamumuhay o sa kanyang ginawang kasalanan na hindi pinagsisisihan. So that is an effective answer to such a charge. And then finally, the objective is preservation of the church. Muli, pag-iingat ng iglesia bilang iglesia. Kaya narito ang dahilan bakit isinama ang disiplina sa marks of the church. Sapagkat kung walang disiplina, ang mga uncensured sinners may begin to multiply and fill the church and infect the church with their corrupting influence. So, preservation is prevention of the corrupting influence of the uncensured. So I return to this text which I used previously in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. Tumutukoy sa kadalisayan ng patutuo ng iglesia, pagkakakilanlan ng iglesia, kung hayaan mo na ma-contaminate ang pagkakakilala ng iglesia dahil sa kawalan ng disiplina, well, ultimately, the church will cease to be a church. So, it is also an act of self-preservation. Kaya yan ang mga katanungan sa church discipline. At muli, dapat nating ilagay ang ating disposisyon sa mga tamang pag-iisip. Ang tamang pag-iisip ay tanggapin natin that church membership must be regenerate. Mga talagang naligtas na ipanganak na muli. And there is no place for the unregenerate, na kung patunayan na kanyang buhay na hindi naman pala siya ligtas. So, the right thought is to maintain this. I understand that excommunication is necessary to dismember the unregenerate. So, if any one of the members by lifestyle and unrepented sin proves that he is not regenerate, then that's where excommunication comes in. So the right disposition is, I will, by God's grace, be concerned to both restore the offender and preserve the identity of my church. So, andun ang tamang pagsasaalang-alang na ipanumbalik ang nagkasala, pero ingatan din ang pagkakakilanlan ng iglesia. Ang maling pag-iisip na pinaiiral ang kasalanan ay iniisip niyang excommunication is a harsh action on a fellow sinner in the church. We should understand that we all continue to sin. Ay sinasabi niya o iniisip niya, dahil lahat naman tayo nagkakasala, ay walang dahilan para itiwalag ang isang nagkasala. Hindi natin tinitiwalag bawat kasalanan, pero may pagkakasala na maikokompromiso ang pagkakakilanlan ng iglesia na dapat disiplinahin. Pero ang ganitong pag-iisip, mauwi sa ugali na I will not be a part of excommunicating a member, and if one is excommunicated, I will not be bound by mandated treatment. Ibig sabihin, hindi siya sasang-ayon, hindi siya susunod sa mandato ng excommunication sa isang excommunicant, at parang baliwalang nangyari at hindi niya sinusunod ang iglesia. Lagi nating isaisip ang ganitong hamon sa paggamit ng disiplina sa iglesia. Maintain two directions of discipline. May dalawang direksyon lagi. Alang-alang sa nagkasala, maipanumbalik siya. Ngunit alang-alang din sa iglesia, maingatan ang patutuo niya at mapanatili ang kanyang pagkakakilanlan. Kaya ganyan ang gamit ng disiplina, kung kaya isinama natin ito at isinasama sa paniniwalang Kristiyano na isa sa mga kasangkapan ng biyaya at isa sa mga marka ng iglesyang mananatiling totoo ay ang church discipline. Kaya sana ay tanggapin natin ang ganitong uri ng kasangkapan ng biyaya at maging kaisa tayo sa mga panahon na masakit man sa atin, ay kinakailangang gumamit tayo ng disiplina bilang iglesia, sapagkat ang lahat ng yan ay alang-alang sa kabanalan. Maraming salamat sa inyong pakikinig. Sana kayo ay nakinabang at muli kayo ay pagpalain mula sa pag-ibig ng Ama, sa biyaya ng kanyang anak na si Jesucristo, at sa pakikipisan ng banal na Espiritu.